What is happening, people of the interwebs? It is time for another episode of the Do Things Podcast. But before we get to the show, a quick word from our sponsors. And if you happen to be thinking to yourself, well, now I don't know where to get started. I understand Anchor.fm is great, but how do I make a podcast? I have got you covered. We have a brand new course called Do Podcast that take you from start to finish, everything you need to know about making and distributing your podcast. There is a free course where you can learn everything you need to know to use just your phone to create your very own podcast. Go to dothingsonline.com and start today. We can't wait for you to do that podcast.
Who's ready to do things?
What is happening, people of the interwebs? The Do Things Podcast.
The Do Things Podcast.
The Do Things Podcast. And I am jacked out of my mind right now. I just want to help people, man. Burn your plans and do things. Selfies and butterflies.
You are a miracle.
Stop worrying about the things you can't control.
Burn your plans and do things.
Let's go. That's it. What is happening, people of the interwebs? Welcome to another episode of the Do Things Podcast. I am Todd Frazier, your host as always. And I'm pretty jacked. I'm jacked out of my mind. I still love that intro. It's super great. So hopefully you're having a good start to 2020. I'm feeling pretty good. Just recorded an episode of Jesus and Coffee. I'm really excited about that one. We got some direction we're doing there. I'm recording a new intro for an episode of the Heart from the Heart Show this afternoon. It's the year of the studio, guys. It's the year of the studio. Don't get left behind. Don't do it. But in this episode of the Do Things Podcast, this is an interview that I did recently on a show called Talent Talk Radio. It's a radio show and a podcast by a guy by the name of Chris Dyer. I've known him for a while. We've known the family for a while. And he had me on and just kind of talked about the whole philosophy behind Burn Your Plans and entrepreneurship and really kind of a great overview of my philosophy and how that fits into my life and the things that I do. And then we talked about a couple other different things, but it was a really good opportunity, I think, to share with you guys how I see all of this and how it integrates with my life. And he had some questions that were good. It was a great interview. So that is what this episode is today. It's the Do Things Podcast, an interview on Talent Talk Radio with Chris Dyer. And that is what you're going to hear right about now.
Let's get to my guests today. Excited to have them both on. My first guest will be Todd Frazier. He's a content creator and business strategist and speaker. Todd Frazier. Todd, welcome to the show.
Hey, Chris, thanks so much for having me, man. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, why don't you tell everyone a little bit about you, what you're doing, and what's important for us to know for today's show.
Sure, absolutely. Well, I am... I feel like I'm kind of the definition of an entrepreneur in that not the entrepreneur that we see a lot on Instagram and on YouTube and things where it's flashing the cash and riding the Lambos. It's the reality of what an entrepreneur life is. I do the things that need to get done so that I can move on to the next project. And that's really kind of how I lived my whole life is moving from whatever the project is now to the project that's next. And that's really what I'm literally right now. I'm talking to you from my podcast studio where, yesterday we just did a podcast interview for a podcast I produce. I create my own podcast content. I also am a CPA and I have a CPA firm that I do taxes and business consulting. And then I speak, I just do all the things that need to get done within the sphere of, really it comes down to, for me, it comes down to helping people take action. Cause I think we all have ideas. We all have thoughts and dreams, but a lot of times we don't even take the first step to realize those. And that's the place where I feel like I'm called to be an inspiration to ignite that fire that says, I can start this thing. I can do that thing. And that's really what my passion is all about, is helping people. However it may be, whether it's through content online or in person with clients or helping them create something great for themselves. That's what I'm all about, man. So I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, it seems like you are helping people in a lot of different ways. I mean, certainly you have the more practical ways inside of the CPA world and helping businesses on that end. And then, of course, the content things that you're doing. One of the things that I thought might be interesting for us to maybe kind of start with is, often when people come to someone like yourself or to me, they have a problem, right? They have something that's arisen where they can't handle themselves. They need help. They need someone else's opinion. And often that comes from a lack of action. It's a very common theme. They haven't taken care of something. They haven't put their attention where they should have at the right time. Can you maybe talk about what you think is there a common theme to the clients and people you're working with as to why they have this lack of action?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, you hit the nail on the head. That is the question that comes up, is like, they come to me and like, what should I do? And reality is, the reason most people don't do anything related to what is that their dream or goal is they're afraid. I mean, let's face it. They're afraid of the failure being the result. They're afraid of what their parents might say. They're afraid of what their friends might think of them if they do something that maybe doesn't align with what their friends think is a good idea. But it comes down to fear. And at some point, you have to realize that you are a miracle created to do amazing things, but you have to start. You have to start somewhere, and you have to let people's opinions and the reality that you will fail, you have to kind of embrace that. You have to take that on and say, I'm going to wear this as a badge of honor, all these failures. I mean, I've got failures a mile long that really have helped me every step of the way get to where I am now, which is a place that I'm extremely excited to be. But that question always comes up, like, how do I get started? And the answer is, you start. But really, it comes down to getting over that fear of what the result is going to be or what other people are going to say. And that's especially in our culture today with Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and all these things where everybody can see what you're doing. And if you're not promoting yourself in a way that everybody agrees with, then they come down on you super hard. So that's a real fear, especially for the younger kids, you know. So it's a crazy world, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, how do you sort of suggest that people, you know, overcome or begin tackling that fear of failure, or just that feeling of being overwhelmed? What's sort of that starting point for them to start, you know, to begin to help it get better?
So when kind of starting my journey, the way that I got to where I am now, I'll back up and give a little bit of backstory. High school was really good for me. Classes were easy. I was captain of the football team. I ended up getting a scholarship to college to go play football. So I was like, high school's great. I'm going to go back there. I'm going to teach and coach. And it's going to be just like I was, you know, 18 years old for the rest of my life, which some people hear me say that and think I hated high school. My wife's one of them. But I was like, no, it was good for me. So I'm going to go back. And I started doing my student teaching as I was getting ready to graduate college. And literally the last week of student teaching before I'm getting ready to finish up and graduate, a kid lit off a firecracker in class while class was in session, and it just triggered this thing. First of all, I had to deal with discipline in a way that I'm like, first of all, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm a student teacher alone in a room with a kid that lit off a firecracker. So where do I start? And then I started like retracing my steps and realized I was not in a place where I wanted to be a teacher. I was a bad classroom manager. I was just friends with the kids. We goofed off all the time. So I had to kind of rethink, is that really the place that I want to be? And so I had to jump into something else, because I told my wife, I went home, we were already married at that point, and I said, I got to get out of this because I can't do this every day. And she's like, all right, what are we going to do? And so back and forth, ended up getting into real estate investment, which I barely knew what a mortgage was, let alone a second trust deed and understanding like LTV stuff. Like there was no way, I had no background in that at all. But I jumped in and said, I got to figure this out. And so through that, then that career grew until 2008 hit, with many of us that are listening to this probably had an issue in 2008 because of the economy. Mine specifically was real estate related. I was managing $18 million of real estate loans, and we got heavy with a certain developer and he went under, and then that was the domino that kicked off everything. And I lost my job and had to figure out what to do. I already had three kids. I was married and had a mortgage. So at that point, I'm afraid, right? I'm afraid of what's next. But I knew that if I didn't start something, I would just sit and woe is me, and I'd never get anywhere. And so at that point, I realized I just needed to jump into something else, which took me back to, you know, I jumped out of teaching. I got into real estate with no knowledge. I can do something else. And that's kind of happened. That's how I got into becoming a CPA, and I had to go back to school. I mean, it's a long story if we go down that whole road, but the reality is what kind of appeared for me in my story as it happened was, I am going to get to where I'm supposed to be as long as I take action, as long as I do that thing and I fail and I move forward. And I started, for me, it's faith. I'm a Christian. I have a very strong faith, and I believe that we were all created for a purpose. But as I was talking to people that didn't necessarily line up with that faith view, I'm like, how can I explain this in a way that makes sense, where they can be like, I believe in myself, and I can really move forward and not be afraid of the fear of failure. So I created this video called You're a Miracle. I found a study from a guy at Harvard that did the math of what are the odds of you being alive, of you being born. And Mel Robbins has this thing where she says 400 trillion to one. And this guy said, I think that's probably a better chance than it actually is. So he did the math all the way down. And the odds of you being alive, I kind of lay it out in this video on YouTube, but the odds of you being alive are 1 in 10 with 2,685,000 zeros behind it, which I just basically equate to, you shouldn't be here. This life is winning the lottery. So what are you going to do with it? And from that perspective, people started to kind of, that resonated to say, you know what? I am a miracle. I shouldn't be here. I won the lottery. What do I want to do with that? And that usually triggers them for them to feel like, you know what? I am valuable. And all the stuff I do on social media and my speaking is to inspire people. And it starts from yourself. And how do you believe in yourself? And if you don't believe in yourself, then you're never going to get to that next step. So it really starts there to say, look, you're a miracle. If you're listening to this and you're like, oh, I don't know, I don't feel really good about it. You won the lottery. The fact that you're breathing, the fact that you're actually alive is what it's all about. What are you going to do with that? And so that usually starts the conversation right. Of, well, you know, I can try something, I guess. If that's the reality and I only want one shot, why not?
So you've sort of been in these different opportunities where you sort of had that gives the confidence to say maybe this isn't for me, or if it didn't work out, then to say I'm going to go try to do something new. Maybe you can kind of talk to some people who are thinking about being self-employed or thinking about starting something on their own are often scared about being self-employed. I think that's one of the biggest barriers. I think it's not a good idea. It's not the, you know, can I make money at it? Will I love doing it? It's just you being scared about actually starting that process, right? Of working on your own and removing that safety blanket you get from working for someone else. So can you talk to me about what sort of scares you most about that and what, you know, how that relates to what people might be thinking about if they're going to start their own business?
Well, absolutely. And I am a big advocate for starting your own business, but I do not sugarcoat it because it is the most scary thing I've ever done in my life. I've been married for 16 years. We've got three kids, a 13-year-old and 11-year-old twins. And that's nothing compared to starting your own business and trying to figure out, you know, am I going to get revenue this month? Am I going to lose a customer? Like, let's say you start a business because you have one customer and you're like, if I lose this customer, I lose everything, which maybe you shouldn't have started a business with one customer, but it is an extremely scary thing to get into. But it also, for me, is one of the most exhilarating things. And I think that's the biggest key is, does it excite you to be a little bit scared about what's going to happen tomorrow? Because if it doesn't excite you, then you probably shouldn't jump in. Because, I mean, you know, you run your own business. I run my own business, you know, a couple of them. And that's just something for me that if I'm working for someone, it doesn't fulfill me. I don't feel like I'm doing the most that I can do.
That idea that you're working for somebody else, I think is a real distinction. And for some people, they just, that isn't the right thing for them. So do you think there's a certain type of person that it takes to run their own business? I mean, is it just the fact that they don't want to work for someone else? Or is it the fact that they're particularly more resilient? Or is there maybe something about that person that maybe you see, especially in your work and your clients, that, you know, that as an attribute that, you know, a business owner may have?
Honestly, I think it's got to be passion. It has to be the passion for the people because, yes, we don't work for a boss, quote unquote, but our customers are our boss. So really, no matter what you do, you're working for somebody, right? I mean, our clients technically are our boss because that's how we make our money. That's how we make our living. So for somebody to say, well, I just don't want to work for somebody and they want to start their own business because they're lazy and they're like, I'm just going to sit at home and do nothing. Well, that's not how it works. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of hard work. And you do have, you know, multiple bosses. However, you get to set the parameters, you get to set the schedules and things. But I think if you're really, truly passionate about what it is that you do and how you can help people, then that is the thing that for me says, okay, I think you're ready to start your own business. I was just, I had a coffee meeting this morning with a gentleman that I met. Actually, he was in the interview yesterday in the podcast, and he's been a radio host for over 10 years, and he just got out of his contract, and he's figuring out what's next. And we were sitting down, and he's never done his own thing, But now with the way media is and the way that we can do this podcast right now from our different separate locations, as simply as just making a phone call, which is nuts to me. And I think that's why I love media so much, especially now in 2019. But he's like, I just want to reach people the way that I've been reaching people on the radio. And if I can do it in a studio where I'm, you know, wherever I live, or I'm in your studio, Todd, however that works, I just want to do that. And you could see the passion, you could feel it from him. And I'm like, yeah, dude, it's time for you to jump on this. And I think that you have to have a passion, because otherwise, like, it's going to be a long life if you're running your own business and you hate your job. That's not going to work very well.
Yeah, I mean, and I agree with you. Passion is a good starting point. I would sort of add to that, though, that it can't be the only thing.
No, it cannot.
You have to have the skills. You have to have the, a desire to learn. You have to have some bit of resilience in there to kind of push through things. I mean, I know people whose passion, let's just say, you know, they are really, really good at baking cakes, right? Mm-hmm. And they love it and they're good at it, but man, they can't make a business out of it.
Yeah.
You know, turning that into something that can feed their families, for that particular person, I've seen this, just isn't possible. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a scalability. There's so many other things that go around that. I think that gets into thinking about your passion in a way that can that be converted into a business? And can you think about and dream about, okay, well, I'm a successful person in this business, I'm going to make X dollars, or I'm going to be able to do these five things, whatever those are. So do you think there has to be that kind of planning and that kind of, I guess, yin and yang to the passion component?
Oh, absolutely. And I think I don't say passion to say that's all you need to start a business. I say passion is what the key indicator for me that says, okay, you're ready to start your own business. Because if somebody's an amazing coder and makes websites in their sleep, but they don't have a passion for helping people with websites, they shouldn't start their own business. If they cannot make websites, but they have a passion for making websites, they should not make a website business because they don't have the talent. I mean, you got to have the tools and you got to have the drive, because that's the biggest part for me. That's like, you have to have both. But the indicator for me that says you can have all the talent in the world and have no passion and go make a lot of money working for somebody, you know, that's the reality of the world we live in. If you're talented, no matter what your background is these days, or even your degree, like, if you're talented, people will get you. But if you're talented and you have passion, that's what I think makes the most successful entrepreneurs in starting their own businesses. So I totally agree that talent's a big part of it. Huge.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, another part of this, I think, and I started to allude a little bit to the resiliency part, but I'm sort of wondering where you kind of, your thought process is on how people plan out or design that initial, you know, starting of a business. I think some are headstrong and have set goals and they're going to get to from A to B to C and so on, which is fine as long as they can accomplish those things. And I've seen examples where people can't even get from A to B.
Yeah.
Probably because B wasn't a very good idea to begin with.
Exactly.
Thought it was a good idea. And I see other entrepreneurs who are able to go and from A, and they realize they can't ever get to B, and they quickly change their entire plan, right? They're willing to pivot. They're willing to make that change. You know, you can reverse that. I've seen the other part too, where people change so much they can't ever get figured out. So, you know, how detailed do you think you get? How much do you stick to the plan versus pivoting? I mean, is there sort of a sweet spot in there that you've seen for your clients and your own approaches to business?
Yeah. So you said a word there that I love. You said pivot. I have lived my life on the pivot, and I think that's another intricate part of being an entrepreneur, because at some point the thing that you're doing that's working may not work. And you can't be so devoted to it. You can't put it on a pedestal in a way that says, well, this is how we've always done it, so this is how it's going to work. You have to be able to pivot. And that's like my whole life philosophy is burn your plans. I wrote a book called Burn Your Plans and Do Things. And it's about burning those plans. Mostly, it's about burning the thoughts and the things that are holding you back. Like, a lot of times we make these detailed business plans. And I've had these customers on the CPA side. They come in, they say, I want to start this business. And they say, I've got this business plan. And I look at the business plan and I'm like, okay, this is nice in a vacuum, But as soon as you start this thing, these after step one, step two through 10 may not apply anymore because of the result of what happened in step one. Now, I think your direction is good, but if you get too detailed, then you get married to this idea that this is how it's going to work and you have an expectation, and expectations are where dreams really go to die, because once your expectation Sure. isn't met, then you get disappointed. And once you get disappointed, you get frustrated. And once you get frustrated, you're like, well, maybe I shouldn't even be doing this. And then you scrap the whole thing. Right. So you do need to have a plan. And I believe 100% in direction. Like, where am I going with this? But if, and I play a lot of semantics with that, because yeah, I call it a plan, call it a direction. My wife gives me a hard time. Like, you said plan, you say burn your plans. I'm like, well, okay, direction or whatever. You know what I mean? I just mean, don't get all your steps lined out, because everything I've done in my life and everything I've seen from successful people is it didn't come from a detailed plan. It came from a direction, and they had ideas of where they were going to go. But as soon as they started, they were able to adjust to whatever the result was that gave them the opportunity to succeed. So having a plan right. as right. far as an idea or direction, I think is extremely important, but we need to be able to pivot.
We're almost out of time here. I want to make sure I ask two last questions before I have to cut you off and bring in our second guest. And that first question is real quickly is, what book are you reading right now?
Well, I just actually I don't read too much. I listen to books. I'm listening to The New 1 Minute Manager with Ken Blanchard. We interviewed him for the podcast that I'm producing 2 weeks ago in San Diego. And so in preparation for that, I'd heard about him and heard about The 1 Minute Manager. The way that he used a story, a fable really, to tell about being a good manager, I loved it. I love story. I love the way he puts it. So I recommend that if you're in management or an entrepreneur of any sort, you need to read that, because it's about dealing with people, really. It's The 1 Minute Manager, Ken Blanchard, for sure.
I'm sure our listeners would love to check it out. And last question is, how can people get a hold of you or find out more about your services?
Best way to get a hold of me is probably the website, frazeinc.com, F-R-A-Z as in Fraser, F-R-A-Z-I-N-C.com. I'm also all over the social medias, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I'm even on TikTok, YouTube, and it's T Fraser SoCal, T-F-R-A-Z-I-E-R-S-O-C-A-L, like Southern California, everywhere. So hit me. I love to hear from people.
Fantastic, Todd. Thank you so much for being a part of the show today. And I'll bring in all your great insights. I'm going to be right back after this quick commercial break. I'm bringing my second guest, Celine Williams.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks so much for listening to the Do Things podcast. That is a Fraser Industry Studios production, created, hosted, edited, and all the things by me, Todd Fraser. Make sure to follow us on social media. At T Fraser SoCal is my personal Instagram and Twitter, and find me on Facebook at the Do Things Podcast. We got all kinds of stuff all over the place. YouTube, hit that YouTube, frazetube.com, or you can go to YouTube and type in Todd Fraser Do Things. All the things pop up. You guys, we want to make sure we inspire and equip as many as you as possible to take action. Share this with your friends. Tell your mom. Get out there. Burn your plans. Do those things. And we will see you on the next episode.